This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Blue Wire.
The Arizona Cardinals select Kyler Murray.
And the 2019 Offensive Rookie of the Year is Kyler Murray.
This year's most valuable player, Lamar Jackson.
Jackson takes it himself. Look at him dart back and forth. Oh, he broke his ankles. He is Houdini. Touchdown, Patrick Mahomes with a rope.
Chiefs are Super Bowl champions here in Miami.
All right, guys, welcome back to Establish the Pass podcast presented by Clutch Points. I am your host, Blake Lovell. With me is my co-host, Dylan Reagan. And Dylan, we are back here on the podcast. And since the last time we recorded a podcast, things are a little bit different. But that is no different for anyone in the sports world. Certainly the same for us here as we look at the NFL. But I guess, Dylan, the difference for us is that we are actually talking about a sport where there is a lot going on, and that is not, you know, like many other things in sports right now, given the circumstances. But you cannot say that about the NFL, because my goodness, when we start the tampering period in the NFL, we really start the tampering period in the NFL and open up franchise tagging and free agency and all that. And let's just say that there have been lots of talks going on, because it was a wild, wild Monday. And again, we're recording this on Monday afternoon, so keep that in mind. I'm sure, as we always do when we record, by the time we finish, we're probably going to be talking about a blockbuster trade, another one of some sort, here at the end of the episode. So just keep that in mind.
Yeah, I'll keep my notifications on for Schefter and Rappaport tweets as they periodically come out. But yeah, no, I was a little surprised that they pushed through with the league year starting right now. But at the same time, I understand it a bit. I think I forgot who tweeted it out. The reasoning was more of, you know, they could push it back a couple of weeks, but maybe at that point, everything with the coronavirus could have escalated even more so, and it could be even harder to get it going. So, and also a lot of these meetings, I guess, now are, they don't have to actually take place in person. A lot of guys are just on calls with their agents and team. So not as much in face-to-face contact, which for a lot of teams, I'm sure that hurts them a bit as they try to bring in some new guys. But nonetheless, it is what it is. We're all dealing with this, and you know, you have to follow what everyone, all the experts say to do. We can't really change the circumstances, but yeah, at least for our sake, the league that is in the off season is the biggest talk of the sports world, because there's really nothing else happening. And yeah, a lot of things have already happened. I'm sure it's just going to continue to escalate, and obviously still a question of what's going to happen with Tom Brady here.
Yep, it is for sure. And just as we all expected, right away, we got a blockbuster trade to start this thing. And I think, just as we all thought, you know, it was going to be DeAndre Hopkins going to the Cardinals, right? Because that was the one we all had pegged in our office pool, was DeAndre Hopkins being traded by the Texans and now landing with the Cardinals in exchange for David Johnson. And we were laughing about it before we came on, and I guess it's not so funny in a certain sense, but you make this trade a couple seasons ago, and my goodness, like, this was like the fantasy darling, you know, top three, top five, like, these were your guys. And probably, you know, DeAndre Hopkins still in that category. We know David Johnson's been battling some injuries and such, but really, I mean, it is. It's just, as soon as you see that, I mean, it was probably like an hour before, I want to say, or maybe a couple hours before, you know, the rumors started circulating that, okay, DeAndre Hopkins, the Texans could actually look at trading him. And, you know, like, I'm sitting there thinking, okay, come on, please. Like, this is just another one of these rumors. We've seen thousands of them at this point in the offseason. There's no way the Texans are trading DeAndre Hopkins. And then, boom, like, here you go. He's getting traded for David Johnson. And you know, we also remember back to that discussion we had about the unlikelihood that David Johnson is going to be traded because of money, knowing what his contract was and all that. And you know what? What do we know? Because here they are. These two guys are going to be on different teams next season, just like they were a season ago. But now it's just like, how did we get here?
I mean, it's the Bill O'Brien experience. If there's some themes of this podcast, and you know, along with all the Antonio Brown drama, us constantly talking about Tom Brady in the offseason, now you can add in us criticizing Bill O'Brien and the fact that they still don't have a GM in Houston. It's getting ridiculous, and I can understand why. I mean, we've seen players that were frustrated. Tyrann Mathieu responded to the report itself. Some other guys on the team with other social media responses, clearly not happy that they're trading DeAndre Hopkins. But just from a football perspective, it's so perfect that Bill O'Brien traded for a running back. It's so funny. And for the Cardinals, how is this not a huge win? You get one of the top three receivers in the NFL and Hopkins. I mean, it's just, I mean, the cost from what I've seen from guys that you know, analyze the value on trade markets and different NFL analysts, they're saying it was at least like a first and a second, given how good he is, like from their own point of view. And I mean, to basically get him for a second round pick, they swapped the fourth rounders, one going to the Cardinals this year and the one for Houston the following year, but basically a second round pick, and you get rid of David Johnson's contract. I mean we've talked early in the offseason about them possibly trading him, but it was going to be difficult to find a team to take his contract. You not only did you get rid of the contract, you add DeAndre Hopkins. It's just staggering to think about. I don't really know how this isn't a huge win for Arizona. They probably would have just shipped out Johnson with a pick for nothing else in return at a certain point to get that money back. And now it makes, as a Rams supporter in my off podcast hours, I now have some hope that maybe if there's the right deal out there for Todd Gurley, they won't have to eat so much of the money, possibly not any of it, and you know, actually get some value in return if the Rams follow a similar path here to the Cardinals.
Man, I tell you, we are our allegiances could be changing here on the podcast, given all these potential trades. We send one of our AFC South favorites now back to, you know, to the NFC West. And I don't know. What if Todd Gurley gets traded? Is he going to go to the AFC South? There's just lots of, I mean, come on, that's what we can hope at this point, right? I don't know. I'm thinking in all the scenarios, and I don't think that's really going to happen. We've got David Johnson in there now, but I can't probably see, I guess, I don't know who could do it. I don't think the Jags are going to do it. The Titans are going to do it, because the Titans, franchise tag, Derrick Henry, we'll get to that in a second. And I don't think the Colts will as well, but yeah, it's just, man, it's, I don't know. Like you said, it's just, this is what we've come to expect, I think, from the NFL. And, you know, we always compare, I think, the NFL to the NBA when it comes to these wild moves. And you never really know what you're going to get. And this was one of those. Like, it's just, I don't think any of us thought this coming. The Bill O'Brien experience, like you said, you never know what you're going to get. The Texans were legitimately, you know, basically a blown lead away from having a chance to be a win away from the Super Bowl. And now they trade their star wide receiver. I don't know. Like, what's Deshaun Watson thinking right now?
Oh my
That's
gosh,
my question. Like, what do you think his reaction is at this point?
I know. He wants to be loyal to the franchise that drafted him and he's grown up with now. But at the same time, if I'm Deshaun Watson, what do you think? Like, I don't know. I wouldn't. I know they can just tag him a bunch and there's a way to keep him for quite some time. But if I'm Deshaun Watson, I'm really considering, you know, not signing a second contract with a team that's going to do this kind of stuff. And I'm sure that's not really what his mindset is. But if I just putting out like into his, you know, thinking where he's at, like, I don't know, like you talk about not just their connection on the field and what that this means for him overall, but also just the two guys together as human beings, as friends, like that's another thing that's going to make this tough. And it's going to be, it's going to be an interesting offseason once the team can actually get to the facility and they're all there. I'm sure they're going to love David Johnson. The dude works his butt off, and there's nothing negative about him necessarily. But this is a pretty as one side of a trade when you look at like what they could have probably gotten for Hopkins if they really evaluated the market correctly. Why they're going for David Johnson in the first place, I don't know. They already have Duke Johnson. What are you doing? Like, just collecting Johnson running backs at this point. But overall, yeah, man. If I'm a Texans fan, I'm just so angry right now. It just doesn't make sense. It's not like he's aged. It's not like even with we talk about some of the stuff with Julio, and his name's been mentioned briefly. Yeah. But at least he's a little bit older. and you see where the Falcons are at. I mean, the Texans, you know, this is a team that is won the division, should be the favorite again, but maybe not now. I don't know. It's such a different situation, and it just doesn't make any sense. I did not see this coming when I woke up earlier this morning.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll revisit the Texans because they're in an interesting spot at this point. I don't know what moves they make because wide receiver. What are they going to pull a deal for Amari Cooper here? I mean, that's the thing. Are they now? Look, if they do that, then maybe we can say, all right, Bill O'Brien, maybe you're actually a genius and we didn't give you enough credit. But I'm going to tell you right now, I don't see that happening. But I don't see the Texans landing Amari Cooper. But I guess as we've said, crazier things have happened. Without question. All right, so let's move from that crazy part to, we didn't expect that to happen. However, Dylan, if any of our valuable listeners, which we love them all, would like to revisit some of our previous episodes of the podcast, the team we kept going back to on our friend Tom Brady was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I think it wasn't because we thought necessarily he was going to end up there. I think it was because we were both very intrigued by the fact that if he did wind up there, you look at the weapons around him, you kept saying, okay, now this could be fun if you put Tom Brady in Tampa with, like we said, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, you go up and down the line. I mean, with Bruce Arians, like running the show, it felt like a pretty fun idea. And, Dylan, lots of other moves being made, and you can make those over at BetOnline as well. While there is currently no NBA, NHL, or college basketball, you might think that there's nothing to bet on. Well, you would be wrong. And that's because BetOnline still has hundreds of places to wager, from their online casino, to poker, you've got blackjack. All of them are open 24 hours a day, and they are all online. So sports aren't totally done. There's still mixed martial arts. Esports is on the rise as well. If you're into entertainment, you can bet on American Idol. The elections, we've got the spelling bee, and even the Nathan's hot dog eating contest, which I know was a favorite of our show. So if you want to do that, be sure to use the promo code BLUEWIRE, all one word, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, and that is BetOnline, your new ticket to online action. Well, now that we know the Titans are out of the mix, because they have Ryan Tannehill, which we forget about all that. Like, I mean, yeah, because that was like a full 24 hours ago, and we're like, that seems like 2 weeks ago at this point. But now that we know that Ryan Tannehill is returning to the Titans, we know that Tom Brady's not going there. And so now all the discussion is leaned towards the Bucs potentially being the favorite to land Tom Brady. And Adam Schefter, I think, came out early on Monday morning. I think it was during one of his SportsCenter appearances, where he mentioned that, you know, the Patriots and Tom Brady were not even close on a deal at this point. So all that speculation is speculation, in that maybe this isn't actually going to be as easy as him going back to the Patriots with the Titans out of the mix, and that the Bucs could be there. Also, the Raiders, as we expected, I don't think this is unexpected either, that the Raiders are seemingly, you know, trying to jump right into this thing, but they may have another quarterback in mind, which we will touch on in a second because I know Dylan's really excited about this one. But for now, it does seem like now the momentum with Tom Brady moves towards the Bucs, potentially the Raiders. But as we said, I'm very intrigued by this Bucs possibility, although, and I think Michael Lombardi or maybe there's someone else. We've seen so many reports from so many different people that I'm forgetting who's who at this point. But it may have been him that said, you know, it may fit, but it's going to be so weird if you have to see Tom Brady in a Bucs uniform. It's just one of those things, like, you just can't see it.
Yeah, no, that's what I think the last time we kind of talked about this in terms of locations. It feels like some sort of, like, Madden trade. It doesn't feel like a real idea to see Tom Brady in a Buccaneers helmet. It's there's some other franchises that make a little more sense and that you feel in terms of just like from a narrative perspective where he could end up. But for the Buccaneers helmet on Tom Brady, that would be something. But yeah, like you said, we talked about it more from a football perspective, not so much like an actual rumor, you know, leading up to this point. And now here it is actually happening possibly. And I still think, I mean, obviously the Patriots, we'll see what's really going on. If they might just be content to move on, but I wonder what their contingency plan is if that's the case. A lot of moving parts right now. And yeah, out of the two teams now with the Titans out of it, between the Raiders and Bucks, you got to think with the firepower they have in Tampa Bay, that's the more intriguing option. Also, just going into Vegas would be such a be interesting. I just feel like Tampa Bay makes more sense. But yeah, at the same time, we'll still see the Patriots. I don't know, man. It's I still just can't. It's hard to like grasp the idea. I'm saying it like sure it could happen, but trying to grasp the idea of him not wearing a Patriots uniform is crazy. But yes, in terms of the domino effect, if he did somehow end up in Tampa Bay, yeah, that was my favorite report from today was from Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Mentioned that John Gruden is intrigued by possibly signing Jameis Winston, and man, I cannot think of something I'd enjoy more than watching him in Las Vegas.
Full circle, right? You have John Gruden, who was with the Bucs, Jameis, who was with the Bucs, and now they all come full circle to the Raiders, who John Gruden coached against in the Super Bowl. That it's just like, and he was, it's just, my goodness, like all the different, I know what you say.
Amazing. Unlike the Tom Brady one where it's hard to picture it, I can very much picture Jameis Winston in the Raiders jersey and helmet. That's not hard for me to do at
that's
all.
That's true.
It's very easy. And if you're a Raiders fan, not something that you're really going to want. I'd rather stick with Derek Carr if that's the case. But for just entertainment, if they want to be the most entertaining product in Las Vegas, I think Jameis is the way to go. I think they're in that from that point of view, it's really smart.
Could you imagine them sticking with Derek Carr and Jameis Winston and just going back and forth? Like, I think there may be some frustration there if you're a Raiders fan. But you know what, though? Like I said, we've seen both of them be really good. And so if you can just find that button to push and put the right one in at the right time, you never know.
There you go.
So
two quarterback strategy. Yeah, kind of like the old, like something you saw in college, I guess.
Yep, why not? But it is. It's very strange to think about, like we said, Tom Brady in a Bucs uniform. I don't know. It's just, it is. But then again, like we said, if he wants to win, I mean, really, when you look at the options at this point, I mean, it's a better situation than the Raiders. It's a better situation than the Chargers.
Yeah.
I guess, like I said, we're not even talking about the Titans anymore. The 49ers stuff, I think we're way past that. Mm. I don't know. Like, I feel like it is. It's the best situation aside from the Patriots, unless there's just another team out there we're not even considering that jumps into the mix. But I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it comes down to the Patriots or the Bucks, and I don't think we ever thought we'd be saying that. But we'll see. That'll change, I'm sure, within the next 2 hours. When another team jumps into the mix that we're not thinking about. Okay, beyond that, Tom Brady, we've mentioned him. Just to go back to some of the we talked about the franchise tag. We mentioned Derrick Henry, AJ Green. No surprise with those two. I guess Dak Prescott, that's a big one. But again, we're not surprised that the Cowboys are using their exclusive tag on him. We expected that to happen. So really, from that trio specifically, I know we're kind of focusing in on the quarterbacks, but all three of those guys are pretty much in the spots we expect them to be in.
Yeah, I don't think we anticipated Dak leaving it. Makes sense that they're going to tag him, not Amari. That becomes more of the intriguing thing now is what's going to happen there. And overall, didn't see Adrian Green going either, especially with Burrow coming in. It made sense. He had voiced, I believe, that you'd want him to be there. So, all those ones, those are the ones that I saw, waking up this morning. It's like, all right, yeah, these make sense. this isn't a Hopkins trade. Those things kind of lined up. I was more surprised at some teams maybe that didn't tag guys like the Rams not tagging Corey Littleton or Dante Fowler. There's some interesting decisions made like that, but these ones seemed like no-doubters.
Well, just as we said, we knew there was going to be something that popped up as we're recording, so lucky to everyone out there listening, you get live reaction here. Byron Jones to the Dolphins. How about that?
Yeah.
So, obviously, a huge signing for the Dolphins. I mean, you want to talk about, Brian Flores, comes over from the Patriots. He obviously needs better work to work with on defense. They need to be able to, to stop people. We mentioned their offense and kind of the exciting parts of that offense, but hey, that's a pretty big deal for the Dolphins
there. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I understand from their point of view, you want to get a guy, you just need talent at this point, and it's been pretty big issue for them. as much as they improved over all of last season, they have a lot of money to spend. There's no question about that. So the fact that your live reaction here with Byron Jones, I'm surprised. It says from Ian Rappaport that he's going to be the highest paid corner in the NFL. That part surprises me. I don't think he's close to being worth that, but man, like
17 million a year or more is the new.
Oh my gosh! Wow. Yeah, that see that part is the surprising part, but at the same time, for the Dolphins, you're going to probably have to overpay a little bit to get some of these guys to come to you, and they have the money to do it. There's no question about that. They're set up with draft picks quite well moving forward, and you know they have a lot of young pieces that we've been intrigued by. We talk about the Dolphins quite a bit for being a team that went, I believe, 5-11, but it makes sense from just the point of view of you know, this is kind of one of the moves that, like last season we talked about, I think the Colts were a team that had a ton of cap space, did not make these kind of moves. Obviously they were in a better position than the Dolphins. They could afford to wait. For Miami, you know, it's not necessarily even about this next season, but overall moving forward, acquiring talent like that, it's not easy to do, especially when you're a team that's not really a place that's really that intriguing for free agents to go. So you're going to have to overpay for these sort of guys.
Yeah, to add to that, there's a report from Barry Jackson on Twitter from the Miami Herald talking about the Dolphins' running back situation. So you got a quarterback in Byron Jones. Now you look at their running back situation. Looks like he mentions that there's not a whole lot on the Melvin Gordon front to this point, but yeah. Jordan Howard, Carlos Hyde, Sean McCoy, also potential options. I don't know. Like, it's we'll see with the Dolphins. They're one we're going to talk about. They became one of our favorites here on the podcast, as many teams did throughout the season. we'll see if they stick. But I like the, like we said, we like the direction they're heading, and their improvement really good. So if you want to get a nice blast from the past, and you want to sort of realize we're living in a bizarro world, go back and listen to our early episodes and our thoughts on the Dolphins and where they are at this point. That'll kind of show you that
ground.
Things can change sometimes, and that's where we're at with the Dolphins. But anyways, back to some of the quarterback talk. The Bears, who, as we know, have their own interesting quarterback situation with Mitch Trubisky there. We knew they were going to probably focus in on trying to find someone to have if they decide that Trubisky is not the direction they're going to go long term. And I don't necessarily know that what they're looking for are long term options at this point, but I think just someone to have there. And some of the recent rumors are that potential candidates could be Andy Dalton or Nick Foles. I think Dalton is probably the more likely scenario, just because I don't know. We mentioned, you know, I don't know what the Jags are going to do. I don't think you ever know what the Jags are going to do, to be honest. And so I think it makes it hard to know exactly what their move could be there. But, you know, we had heard, I think there have been other rumors probably over the past month or so about Andy Dalton to the Bears, and the connection makes sense. Probably just a matter of what is going to happen, you know, in a deal like that between the two teams. And, you know, whether or not they're able to pull something like that. I think Marcus Mariota was another one you saw mentioned. Uh-huh. But it seems like, you know, if there was going to be a trade of some sort, you know, you would feel like if the Bengals are going to trade, maybe they would like to rack up some picks or something like that. I guess we'll see. But, you know, between those two specifically, because that's the most recent rumor, it does seem like Andy Dalton maybe would make more sense than Nick Foles.
Yeah, it depends how much they're willing to give up, I guess. If the price is too high, yeah, trying to sign Teddy Bridgewater made sense. I know I'd mentioned him previously, and now it actually was rumor, but now it seems like that, like you're saying, is not going to be the case. So between these two, it's pretty simple when you look at the actual contracts. For Nick Foles, the dead cap is pretty massive this year still. So if they were to trade him, release him, definitely not an option. So for a trade, it just doesn't seem like it's likely, because how much money, they're not really saving much at that point if they do move him, at least for the next season. But for Jacksonville, maybe they don't worry so much about that, because it kind of looks like 2020 is not going to be their focus. I think they're kind of starting to tear down. So, but yeah, the reports are, that we've seen at least, is that so far they haven't been willing to move him, whereas Andy Dalton, everything's, you know, about them, the franchise, the Bengals, you know, telling him, you know, we'll work with you on a deal to find you, put you in a place where you're able to succeed. It sounds like a lot more amicable process there. So, well, yeah, Andy Dalton would make sense. I don't know for his point of view, for the Bears' point of view necessarily, if that's a huge upgrade. I'm really curious to see if that does go through, what they end up giving up, because I feel like right now there are other free agent running quarterbacks that at least you can sign them and not have to worry so much about giving up too many assets to do so. And that's a team that doesn't even have, you know, they've really traded away a lot of picks lately.
Well, Deshaun Watson may be looking for somewhere else to play soon, so maybe the Bears will go all in to get Deshaun Watson. I doubt it, but
hey, they could have had him in the draft if they really wanted.
That is true. That is a good point. He may get frustrated, and he could be playing for the Bears. We'll see. Probably not, but one that could happen, and it is seemingly more likely. And we talked about this, despite the reports that you know it may not be a connection. I think Phillip Rivers to the Colts. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at everything out there. At this point, it seems like it's just a matter of making a contract work. Like it's made too much sense from the beginning. And like we said, I mean, at this point, like the only other option is if, you know, Brady goes to the Bucks, then I think maybe Rivers could, you know, potentially go to the Patriots. I would think that's unlikely, but I don't know. Like it just, I think Rivers to the Colts, it seems like probably going to happen sooner rather than later. And if that does happen, then, you know, we go back to the Tom Brady situation, and I know we always have to bring it back to this, but, you know, let's say Phillip Rivers does sign with the Colts. Then what if you're the Patriots? And it's like, what do you do? Because, I mean, you know, because then, you know, if Tom Brady does get to the Bucks, if you're the Patriots, and we talked about this on one of our previous episodes, like, where do you turn at that point? Like, what's your best option if all, I mean, like, again, because you're getting to that level to where you have to make a trade if you want someone that you feel like, I mean, because, you know, as we're saying, are they going to bring in Jameis? No.
No.
You know, who else?
That's
Marcus
the
Mariota?
Right there.
Like, I've got nothing against Marcus Mariota or Jameis, but, like, I just don't see either one of those guys fitting in with what Bill Belichick wants to do. And so I think it just makes it so much more fascinating. And I think it makes it so much more important for the Patriots to say, okay, well, what are we going to do here? Because if they were to get, you know, let Tom Brady get away to the Bucs, then I think that opens up so many more questions about the Patriots if Rivers does indeed sign with the Colts.
Yeah, the timing of the two is going to be interesting because if Brady makes the decision, yeah, quicker to go to Tampa Bay, then does New England jump in at Phillip Rivers last minute? Or on the flip side, if Phillip goes to the Colts quickly, then does that drive up the price that the Pats are willing to trade or sign Brady for? I feel like they should just, you know, pony up anyway. I know it's not in Belichick's DNA for anyone, even Tom Brady, pay something he doesn't believe is their market price or what he thinks is their actual value. But this might be a case where, I mean, and maybe the market value in his mind or the value itself with the other guys left will, maybe that calculus will change when Rivers is off the market, like you're saying. So, yeah, it's I still can see this, the scenario where all these guys are signing elsewhere and Tom Brady, it kind of ends up going back to New England because they finally are like, all right, we have to pay him this much. But in terms of guys they would have to find free agent wise, I don't think Mariota, man. Obviously not Jameis Winston. That's the one thing I'm like, if that happened, I will truly be shocked. Like I say, like, you know, I've said I've been shocked with some of this stuff, like the Hopkins trade, but nothing would shock me more than Jameis Winston being signed by the New England Patriots. Maybe, you know, we're talking about the Raiders here. Maybe they could trade for Derek Carr. I don't know what they would be willing to give up, but that's maybe someone that is in a precarious situation. If they want Trubisky, I'm sure they could send over a couple biscuits and get him. But overall, I don't know what else they're going to do. Free agent wise, there's not a lot of options.
Well, and that's where I think they would certainly, we know how the Patriots operate in the draft, and I think that's where you would see a huge, you know, probably a likely move, I would think, into that upper tier to have a chance to get one of these quarterbacks. If they found themselves in that scenario, like we said, and of course we're talking about a lot of different dominoes that would have to fall for them to be in that spot. But if they did, I wouldn't be shocked if, you know, they were to put a lot on the table and, you know, move up to get Tua or Justin Herbert or someone like that.
I just wonder if other teams would still be willing. I think the Patriots entering that kind of conversation would just drive up the price that X team is able to get from another franchise that's more desperate than the Patriots or more willing to give up a ludicrous amount of things. Again, that's also in another part of Belichick. He's not really a guy that trades up often in drafts unless he really wants someone. So, and to go up that far, it's going to take quite a bit of draft capital. So it would be interesting, but I just think other teams are prepared to possibly top whatever the Patriots can kind of offer. They also obviously don't have, each round their picks are always going to be at the end of the draft because of how well they've been on the field.
Well, or they could just turn to the Auburn alum, Jarrett Stidham. We'll see. But I don't know. We'll see what happens with the Patriots. But one quarterback they won't be able to land is Case Keenum, because he has joined the Browns just like approximately 38% of the free agent class at this point, because the Browns, they really loaded up on Monday. You go up and down the line with all the deals they made. You know, Austin Hooper, I think, is one that, you know, that's a big one for the Browns, because, you know, we didn't know exactly where he was going to wind up. And we said, you know, he'd obviously be a great fit for anyone. And I think it surprised a little bit when he didn't go back to the Falcons. But, hey, you know, I like David Njoku, but you know, Austin Hooper, that's a game changer in terms of what they're able to do there. You know, you have a new head coach, Kevin Stefanski, and being able to add that to Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry. And, I mean, they got an offense. Mm-hmm. We know that. It's just, you know, a matter of making it work.
Yep.
And so, you know, the Browns add him to the mix, as we said. They've got Case Keenum, Jack Conklin. They add someone for the offensive line. Mm-hmm. So lots of big offensive moves for the Browns on the opening day.
Yeah, I think having that backup quarterback, that even if, you know, hopefully for their sake, Mayfield has a much better season and things go much differently, but having someone like Keenum at least able to step in if needed, that's nice. I mean, we've seen him really succeed, obviously, in Stefanski's system, but just overall, he's always played well enough, even when he was in that first year when the Rams moved to L.A., had some nice moments. He's a solid backup to have. So I think, yeah, that was a big get for them. Getting Austin Hooper, I mean, yeah, now the highest paid tight end, obviously not, in my point of view, at least the best tight end in the NFL, but out of the free agent market, I mean, yeah, that's a huge get for Cleveland. I will be curious to see how much 12 personnel they use. I know Minnesota didn't use it a ton, but I think that's something that when you're talking about all the talent this team has, their one big concern, obviously, offensive line still. That's where everything started to go downhill last year, was just the immediate pressure and Mayfield tending to just go to his right every time rolling out. I know, obviously, Hooper's not the best blocker, but, I mean, just having another guy that you can put out there, he can get the job done blocking-wise. He's not like a huge big play threat, but they already have enough big play threats. I don't think that's something that Cleveland's offense is lacking. Having someone as reliable as that I think for their sake will hopefully get solid chemistry with Baker pretty quickly. I think it's a good signing for them, and they're able to do it. They have the cap space to make it happen. So, yeah, I think the Conklin one helping their offensive line, I think that was more necessary maybe. Not that the Hooper one won't help it, but I think in terms of impact, I thought for sure Cleveland would be investing quite heavily in the offensive line, because, yeah, I mean, a lot of teams, they approach these kind of things, you know, they can go in the draft, but draft is always kind of about value, and you never really know. So I thought, you know, in free agency, you kind of want to go for needs more, and I still think the offensive line is probably where they still need to keep investing beyond even Conklin at this point.
Yep, Browns making moves, and I guess the best one to wrap up with is the move that we don't know if it's actually going to get made, and Stephon Diggs causing more, I guess, questions. I don't know what you want to say. You know, with the stuff that the Twitter is, social media game is just always very cryptic, and I don't know. It seems like he potentially, you know, is he going to get traded? I don't know. And it just, I don't even know what to make of what he put on Twitter, because I don't know if it means anything, or, you know, is he going to wind up and be on the Patriots by this time tomorrow?
I mean, that would be amazing for if that actually happens. Well, at this point, you know, we just saw DeAndre Hopkins traded. So Diggs is, you wouldn't have been as surprised given all the stuff off the field and kind of these cryptic tweets that have been happening for a while. There's still quite a bit of, it's not too bad. I mean, it's a $9 million in dead cap if they trade him, so it's not the worst from their point of view. But again, I mean, he's one of the best receivers in the NFL. He's still pretty young. I don't know. It doesn't make a ton of sense unless they get a lot of value in return. I think the latest update was the teams are monitoring him. This is based on Adam Schefter talking, and but teams are interested, but nothing active at the moment. So we'll. But again, like the Hopkins thing, sometimes we don't see the report until, you know, that guy's on the market until right before, and next thing you know, he's on a new team. So that would be quite the way to help get Tom Brady back, though, for New England, if they found a way to trade for Stephon Diggs. They definitely need weapons, and that might be the route to go for them instead of trying to trade up in the draft at this point to take a new QB.
Yeah, well, it could happen, and lots more moves going to happen in free agency, as we can already tell. Going to be a fun one, and going to be a unique one, that's for sure, based on the current situation. But we'll see what happens there. But, Dylan, we do have lots of coverage going on over at Clutch Points with all the stuff surrounding free agency. Lots to talk about, and we got it all over there.
Yep, you can go to the Clutch Points app. No games currently, but we still have, obviously, all of our news and editorials breaking down what these trades and signings mean for these teams, for these players. Obviously, all the news and rumors coming out there, so you can follow along there as well as on clutchpoints.com under the NFL section. Still keeping up with all the NBA news is not as much as usual at this point of the calendar year, but still a lot of things happening with players off the court, all the developments as all these leagues navigate what to do with the pandemic. So yeah, still keeping you guys updated. We appreciate everyone still listening and reading everything. Obviously, we'll NFL wise at least, we have a lot of content, so we'll definitely load up on that and make sure we cover it as well as possible with everything else kind of slowing down at this point.
Yep, for sure. So be sure to check all that out at Clutch Points. And as always, you can find all of our latest coverage over there. And we appreciate you guys listening. And thanks, as always, to the crew at Blue Wire for all their hard work. And again, thanks, as always, for listening. And we'll talk to you guys next time here on the Establish the Pass podcast.
For the ones who know that a little late is always too late, and that the clock doesn't stop just because you're missing a part, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, and our KeepStock inventory management solutions help ensure you have the right stuff in the right place at exactly the right time. Visit Grainger.com/KeepStock to learn more. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.